Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, good Thursday. It's a big day. The president is in town. Well, I'm stretching it out. We reached there, right? Allentown, that's a town, and he's here in Pennsylvania. And Dom Giordano's show, we'll be talking at 10 o'clock with the head of Homeland Security. Yes, I've always wanted to get on because, you know, I believe second to the president, maybe even some days more, our lives are in their hands. And some have been good. Some mediocre and some regrettable. What do we have, like five up to this point, or is it four? And this is the acting Secretary of Homeland Security. We'll talk with him. He's with the president in Allentown today, or Allentown area, at one of these places that manufacture personal protection equipment. So we got that going on. And we're going to talk with a great sports talk host in Atlanta, who is also very conservatively wired in, about how's it going in Georgia. Remember, even I thought, wow, when it opened up 2 weeks ago plus, I guess it's coming up on 3 weeks with Governor Kemp and tattoo powers and bowling alleys. Remember all those stories? You never know what might be in the holes of those bowling balls. Remember that stuff? And President Trump, even dubious. And we'll update you on Bucks County and what they got out of the governor yesterday. Not much, not even a half a bone from Wolfman Hack. By the way, watching Tucker last night, thank you. So many people hit me on Twitter. People are emailing. Are you watching Tucker now? Did he take your script? Is he any second he's going to call him Wolfman Hack? Dan, you didn't see it last night. You had other stuff. But did you hear what Tucker Carlson called the Tiny Tyrant and Rachel Levine?
No, I didn't.
He called him the slope-shouldered governor in the middle of something. A slope shoulder. So in the future, we'll add that to our list of insults. You're a slope shoulder. This tyrant. And all. Yeah, he couldn't believe this Mr. Rogers standing there prattling himself. He went nuts, Tucker Carlson. And there were a lot of shots at Rachel Levine. Oh, my goodness. He couldn't believe taking her mother into the hotel when others are suffering in nursing homes. Okay. So that sets the stage. But the thing I want to lead with today, the president in Allentown, as I said, rejected by Delaware County, essentially, for the same thing. And Joe Biden, well, Joe Biden's people really framed this correctly, I think. They gave us a great launching point. And I know that's amazing, you know, that Biden would do anything right. Well, he's helping the show. Headline, Biden puts out a statement. Trump is trying to split Pennsylvanians, okay, trying to split Pennsylvanians by saying that dueling camps, at a time when we should be uniting our country, President Trump, you know, let me ask you at 855-839-1210, are you sick and tired of every two-bit in the world telling us about unity, unity, unity? And all it means is shut up, don't have any policy discussions, don't dare bring up freedom or liberty. Shut up. Be happy about this. Just keep on. And when our betters tell us to come out, that's unity. That's what they seem to mean by it. We get the death count. We get the plea for unity. We get heroes on the front lines and shut up. Let them do their job. Well, Biden is saying that. He said that we should be unified. President Trump is trying to split Pennsylvanians into dueling camps, casting Democrats as doomsayers, hoping to keep America grounded, and Republicans as freedom fighters trying to liberate the economy. This is a false choice, and it's just his latest attack in his mission of dividing Americans. The economy and our public health are inextricably tied. We can only get back to a functioning economy if Americans feel safe to go out in public. Just think of how many contradictions we hear inside that. Why would they feel unsafe with the media blaring every day? And every doomsayer Democrat imaginable saying, no, you're not going to reopen up that science. Well, guess what? Where the president is today, to make my point, in the Allentown area, the Allentown Morning Call, which is a good local paper, they interview two infectious diseases epidemiologists, and both of them say they favor reopening. Headline, front page story in their paper today, we should be in the yellow, headed toward green. Infectious disease experts at top Lehigh Valley Medical Systems say much has been learned about COVID-19. There's no reason some businesses and activities cannot resume immediately. We should be in yellow, headed toward green. Dr. Luther V. Rhodes III, Lehigh Valley Health Network Chief of Hospital Infectious Diseases, last week during a recorded appearance in which he sat before a Lehigh Valley Network backdrop. You know what that means. It's official. Dr. Jeffrey Jarre, an infectious disease specialist, St. Luke's University Health Network, explained many Lehigh businesses with appropriate safeguards could reopen now. If an uncrowded beauty shop or nail salon had an operator and patron wearing masks, you're not sitting cheek by jowl next to someone else. There's adequate distance. There's no crowding. I don't see any reason why that business couldn't open up. Ah, come on. Who are these two-bit guys with all these credentials sitting there with big hospital networks? I bet they didn't treat adolescent and middle school eating disorders like Rachel Levine. She says no, they say yes. Who are you going to believe? Rachel Levine or these guys? Right where the president is today. Do you think the TV media might say, wow, where the president was today, infectious disease specialist, the Dr. Fauci's of their region, so to speak, that's what they say about it. All right, 855-839-1210, you get on board. Now, here's a little analysis from, I couldn't resist this. This is from the Hill. The Hill has a big piece about how much President Trump considers Pennsylvania to be important. Trump's attacks point to Pennsylvania's critical role in re-election bid. No doubt. Absolutely. Dan, I think that's why we got the Homeland Security Secretary. And then tomorrow morning, we have Kellyanne Conway at 9:30. They know this is the powerhouse reaching you, firing you up and across the Commonwealth, and how critically important Pennsylvania is. If it's not number one, it's close. So The Hill interviews Andrea Mead, former chief of staff to Pennsylvania First Lady Frances Wolfe. And Andrea Mead says Trump won Pennsylvania. He's most certainly concerned about Pennsylvania politically. And I think he has every right to be, given the way Governor Wolf has handled things. Meaning, she thinks this has been spectacular by Governor Wolf, given Joe Biden's approval in Pennsylvania, and given the people that have been hardest hit by all this are working class Pennsylvanians who have traditionally been Trump's base. Now, this genius, who was the chief of staff to Frances Wolf, seems to be saying that Trump's base is going to hold this against him. See, they have in their mind it's only so-called fat cats, like cabinet makers, that would benefit if we reopen the economy. And they think Trump's base is going to say he's putting them at risk by saying Pennsylvania has to get back to work. Really? You're Trump's base, a lot of people listening right now. Do you think that's the case? In what universe? So let them fool themselves. Wolf is handling this spectacularly. Joe Biden just couldn't do better in Pennsylvania. And working class people have been the hardest hit. They're Trump supporters. They are not going to support him based on what he's done during this. All right, now let me give you an update on something we had really inside with you. We had on the head commissioner, we'll see if she'll come on today, Diane Marseglia, out there in Bucks County. Yesterday around 5 o'clock, I finally saw a couple of publications online saying that Governor Wolf had responded to this, well, I wouldn't call it a showdown, but they did say by Wednesday we need an answer to tell people about when we're going to reopen. They're getting pressure out there in Bucks County. They're saying, hey, look, their chief medical officer told me, we've done the testing. It's not widespread across the county. It's centered in the nursing homes where Rachel Levine dropped the ball, right? We know that. We should be reopening. It's starting to see more pressure. Okay. Here's what they got. Listen to this from the Bucks County Courier-Times. The Wolf administration will assign a staff member to join the daily calls between Bucks County and surrounding counties where the coronavirus situation is discussed. Dan, that sounds to me like some secretary is going to be sitting there nodding off as the counties are talking. They will give a staff member. They'll get more information next week about when they can move forward with reopening the county. Maybe. Like next Wednesday. What? That's what they got out of this?
I expected a lot more.
Oh, I did too. But here's the line, Dan. Here's the line they all polished and they're all saying. The county is, Wolf said, his office, the county is rapidly moving toward the first phase of reopening. What are we, kids? Oh, you're almost, Johnny. You eat a little bit more of that broccoli, Johnny. Come on. One more stalk.
No, you know what it is? It's the kid in the back seat saying, are we there yet? Over and over again. The mom saying, we'll be there soon. We'll be there soon.
You know what, Dan? That's pretty good. We have the Joe Dua parody for each one of these counties, right? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We're going to be there soon. How much longer do we have to go to get there? And Wolf's going, now, we'll tell you when Rachel Levine's ready. They're heading off to anti-Rachel Levine's. When are we going to get there? Maybe we don't want to go there. All right. She requested preferably daily, said the head person in Bucks County, communication between County Health Department David Damsker and Rachel Levine. Well, Rachel Levine doesn't want to do that. She's too big for the room. But beside that, David Damsker has a lot better experience, a lot more knowledge, in my view, than someone who handled adolescent eating disorders. If I wanted to know about adolescent eating disorders, I'd have Dan go, let's see, Rachel Levine. If I want to know about common sense and fighting this epidemic, I'd go with David Damsker and others, like the ones that I've mentioned. Let's see. Now, remember, the benchmark is fewer than 50 new cases per 100,000 residents over a 14-day period. Yesterday, there were 200 protesters, business people out there. The county courthouse in Doylestown, we had the guy on, and the sign that intrigued me the most was, you got to love this, flatten the corruption. Flatten the corruption. Not flatten the curve, flatten the corruption. Or flatten the incompetence. That's exactly right. 200 of them. That is very good. These were business people. I saw a lot of social distancing. I didn't see any armed militia. They couldn't say that. So I think the commissioners over in Bucks County realized that people have had it. And Dan's right. We're driving in this car, and we're just asking. We've been driving. Can we go to the bathroom? No. Remember, the bathrooms are closed to truckers. Can we turn on it? I wouldn't do that. Rachel Levine wouldn't like it. This is a story. There's a book here. There's a definite book, if not a movie. It doesn't have a happy ending that I can tell. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Now, in addition to everything else, the organizer of this event yesterday with the business people, he told us the day before he was using a pseudonym, and he gave me a different name yesterday. It was Josh yesterday. I think it was Nick the day before because of all the concern and all the stuff going on. So we said, oh, we got to do pseudonyms. We've never done this. You know, a name that people use. I'll take some good ones off the board because there's 1,000 of them. I would say, to me, one of the all-timers, what a great name, Mark Twain. Mark Twain. Real name, Samuel Clemens. You hear Samuel Clemens, you go, Mark Twain. Little story, Dan, when I broke into talk radio, it was back in the day where you changed your name. And good friend then, Tom Marr, talked me out of it. He said, Dominic Joseph Giordano in Philadelphia? What are you going to change it to? Dan Borowski or something? Or Joe Smith? You know, even talk radio hosts used to change your name. If they were ethnic, like Borowski, Giordano, Sebelia, they would change your name. I've never understood that. All right? Thank God that day has changed. It's more authentic. I couldn't be doing my name with a fake name. Just something about it. It's like wearing a toupee doing the show. Come on. 855-839-1210. You get on board. So hit us with your all-time favorite pseudonym. Dan, what's yours?
I'm going to take Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanata off the board, a.k.a. Lady Gaga.
Ah, Gaga. I thought it was Gaga.
It is Gaga. Yeah,
okay, right. Gaga. Yeah. Okay.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, Madonna. Is Cunicella or something like that, I think, right?
Is that a real first name, though?
I don't think it's a real first name.
It's Madonna Louise Ciccone.
So, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, okay, yeah. Madonna was the real name. It's still kind of a pseudonym. Well, when you get to first name status, that's pretty good, too. By the way, I got a thing back. This woman effusively telling me thanks. She listens every day. She told other people. And she said, keep fighting, Don. D-O-N. What in the world? What is this disease?
You should just embrace it at this point and adopt it as your pseudonym.
Yeah, that's right. My pseudonym is Don Giordano. Dom Giordano today. And another mob-related news.
Small change, but a great change.
Small change, a great change. All right, I'm giving it up. I'm not going to pronounce the M anymore. It's going to be Don for the rest of the show. Dr. Don. All right, 855-839-1210. We have the 2020 yard calendar ready to go, the Dom Time calendar. We're on May right now. June is an even better picture. I think that's the one Joe likes. Is that the beach picture, June? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's a great shot. I had black socks on the beach. What a faux pas. That'll probably be banned in New Jersey. Don't hang it up there. They're not letting you go to the beaches.
Confirmed it is indeed the beach pick.
It is the beach pick. All right, just for that alone. So the winner at the end of the show, best pseudonym. There's a million of them. God knows what Joe will come up with. Or fake name, stage name, real, fictional, whatever. Wow us with it. Yesterday, cheerleaders and some blowback. A couple of female listeners said that was sexist. If a female had been on the panel, they wouldn't have chose cheerleaders as quintessentially American. I ran it past Ro. She said, oh, that's a really good one. All right, I rest my
case.
Thanks,
Ro. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Ro. All right, I always thought Dan Bono, that was the guy's first name. Bono.
Come on, Dom.
No?
Who names their child Bono? Well, I guess some people have since Bono.
Yes, but. Well, we named, how about DJ? We named him DJ. We didn't want Dominic Joseph III. We thought, you know, if you're the third, you're getting pummeled, don't you think?
Look, if your name was Paul David Hewson, you'd probably use a pseudonym, too, if you became a
Yeah,
musician.
Paul David Hewson. It sounds like a serial
Hewson,
killer.
Hewson,
H-E-W-S-O-N. Oh, okay. Yeah, it sounds Bono. Like a serial killer.
And it's a double dip with you two, with The Edge, too. David Howell Evans, the guitarist.
And his name is just The Edge.
Yep.
Okay, that's not bad. I think we have to put listeners up to this on Twitter. Joe is quite a showman. Someday he is going to be in show business bigger time than he already is. We need a stage name for him, you know, like the Velvet Fog.
I think Joey Sibbs works well.
Joey Sibbs.
Hey, Joey Sibbs, hey.
Yeah, he has quite a Jersey-esque type of thing, South Philly to it. Joey Sibbs.
He sounds like a crooner from the 60s, Joey Sibbs.
Yeah, you got to help us out at Dom Show 1210. We need a stage name for Joe Sibilia. Joe Sibilia doesn't do it. You know, it just. I mean, how,
Eddie
is
Thomas.
Is he a Joey?
No, I'm not a Joe. I used to go by Joey many moons ago, but.
Did you? Yeah.
Not recently.
Yeah, and I don't think you're a Joseph. I don't like the formal name. I never go with Dominic.
I wonder if the name Frank Sinatra is registered with SAG still.
There you go. Now, he likes more Robert Goulet, and Goulet's passed, so he might be able to take that. All right, 855-839-1210. At the end of your call, just hit us with that pseudonym coming off our guest yesterday and looking up some of these. Wow. I still think Mark Twain's one of the all-time greats, but let's go to Dale to start off in Jersey on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Dale, good morning.
Good morning, Dom. Hey, I want to give you a contrast in Blue State Charities. I've been working in New Jersey for the last 3 years, but I actually live in New Mexico.
Right.
The population in New Jersey, or sorry, population density in New Jersey, is 1,200 people per square mile. Population density in New Mexico is 17 people per square mile.
Right.
We have our own little dictator out there who just yesterday put new restriction on us, and now that we have to wear masks. Now, you can't even see somebody in a square mile.
Well,
there.
She shut down that town. What was it, Gallup, New Mexico? You couldn't go in or out, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that was Gallup. That was larger because it's close to the nations, close to the Indian reservations, and there was a lot of. That was partially a good idea because the Indian nations are largely the biggest area in all of New Mexico. They have the issues. It's kind of getting obvious that this is only about controlling people and controlling their agenda, and while the people are getting fed up out there.
Is she the person, there's a Latino woman that's on the short list for Joe Biden. Is it the governor?
Michelle Lujan Grisham, that's her.
All right, well, that's a perfect pick for Biden then, you know. Whitmer has gone too far. He can't pick, maybe Tom Wolf would make a good VP choice. Who is your pseudonym? Who's the person?
The artist formerly known as Prince.
Yes, that's a great one. That's
fantastic
an all-time one.
Answer,
yeah, that is a very
right
good
out
one.
Of the box.
Yeah. And, well, we might top it, though. Lori of Ringo's is out there patrolling. We get the great stuff because she's off now with schools closed.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yep. Let's go to Lori. Hey, hello. Lori, good morning.
Hey, Governor Murphy, let me out. This is ridiculous. When you go through, I went through my town, I went grocery shopping. The Rita's Italian Ice is open. I get why Rita's Italian Ice is open. You know, I mean, it's walk up, it's takeout, it fits, you know, the definitions.
Right.
If Rita's is open, everything should be open for as long as we're responsible people, for God's sake. And there's not 1,200 people per mile, per square mile in every county in New Jersey. It's vastly different depending on where you go.
Yes,
anyway,
well, wait a minute. Where you are, the claim to fame is the Shad Festival.
Yes.
And yes.
It's very rural out here. It's exurbs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's really about governing our own self-discipline, you know, and just using our heads. That's what it's really about. Stop the nanny stuff, Governor Murphy. Get the message. Anyway, does anybody remember Anthony Weiner's pseudonym? Carlos Danger, all-time best.
Well, first with the Wiener name, and then Carlos Danger he comes up with, and the fact he influenced the presidential election, it's believed, Lori. You can't do better than that. That is a genius one. All right, we'll put you down for that. Go ahead, Lori.
You could just make a case. Actually, what is a better funny name, Carlos Danger or Anthony Wiener? I guess it could go either way.
I would go with Carlos Danger's not as funny as Anthony Wiener. All right, 855-839-1210. Guys got that giant Adam's apple going on, too. All right, so that's what we're looking for, your pseudonym. Now, a couple of things. President, as I said, in Allentown, Joe Biden billing this. He's tired of this phony division going on, saying that this is not about freedom fighters, all these Republicans versus doomsayers on the Democrat side. Yes, it is. That's exactly. Joe got it right, even though he's wrong about being right here. That's exactly what we're seeing. Democrats are trying to make hay on being doomsayers. The end of the world. They're scientific. You're not. You're only interested in money. That's the stance of at least a dozen or not two dozen of these governors, right? Republicans are taking the stance of being freedom fighters. They get attacked for that. Democrats get a pass from the media. I mean, here's an example. I had a conversation the other day with our constitutional law attorney. We may hear from him today. We got tons of updates. I know, be patient. It takes a while for this to work its way through the court, but I think he's going to win against Wolf and that waiver website. But I saw this only in one local paper, the Harrisburg paper. Pennsylvania is the most restrictive state when it comes to selling real estate. Now, Wally Zimmelong, the constitutional attorney, is working also with the realtors to open that up. Imagine now, why would Pennsylvania, with not anywhere near the number of cases of California, New York, New Jersey, you know that, right? Why would they be the most restrictive, and this is a liberal newspaper saying that, in selling real estate? Because they can. Because they have boxed in executive authority here, and because this guy Wolf, who was ridiculed on national TV, is bold enough to continue to do this. Now, you may have seen, and we played this before, Dan. Let's fire up. I think the first one is the one people like the most. I want to play Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice talking about the stay-at-home order and comparing that to the Japanese internment camps. Here's why I want to play it again so you can hear what a real Supreme Court sounds like. Yesterday, the Wisconsin Supreme Court shot down completely the lockdown order of another progressive governor in Wisconsin. People weren't actually in bars last night celebrating in Wisconsin. Our Supreme Court are a bunch of rogue progressives. Republicans dropped the ball, and they were able to get in there. So we don't have that chance. It's Justice Rebecca Bradley. Listen to what she said. We played this a couple weeks ago. We were well ahead of the curve because yesterday she struck, along with these other conservative judges in Wisconsin, and restored freedom there away from this lockdown.
In the midst of the deadliest pandemic the world has faced in over a century, the legislature asks this court to handcuff DHS's power to combat infectious disease. But they misread our public health statutes.
Counsel, as you begin your argument, I'd like to direct your attention to Article 1, Section 1 of the Wisconsin Constitution, which reads in part that all people have certain inherent rights. Among these are liberty. To secure these rights, governments are instituted, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. My question for you is, where in the Constitution did the people of Wisconsin confer authority on a single unelected cabinet secretary to compel almost 6 million people to stay at home and close their businesses and face imprisonment if they don't comply, with no input from the legislature, without the consent of the people? Isn't it the very definition of tyranny for one person to order people to be imprisoned for going to work, among other ordinarily lawful activities? Where does the Constitution say that's permissible, counsel?
Wow, that was a couple of weeks ago. And you know, unelected bureaucrat, AKA Rachel Levine. Boy, we could really use Justice Rebecca Bradley here in Pennsylvania.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.